Warning, the following broadcast is offensive, marginally funny, and contains no educational value whatsoever. It is intended for immature audiences only.
Welcome to another edition of That Riot Show. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
You ever see a steam pipe where too much pressure builds up in a boiler or something? What happens?
Are you saying that's a pipe over there?
Yeah, that blows off steam.
Really?
The relief valve. Phil's an engineer. He understands. Has a relief valve. Why do you think God gave you a dick? It's to avoid stress, man. He needs a blowjob. But not just any old blowjob.
Isn't that funny? Women cause stress, and then they can relieve it.
There you go.
This is fucked up. Now, work up all your science very quickly. Yeah. We're going to give you two in a second. Then work it up. Chlamydia.
Yep.
Okay. 1 in 15. They had an abstinence policy, but 1 in 15 chlamydia.
Yep.
Go.
I'll tell you exactly what it is from a scientific standpoint. I'd be happy to. You know what it is? You can't stop teenagers from fucking.
This is fucked up.
I know I'm getting old. This very week, I've sat on my balls twice.
This is fucked up.
Unfortunately, on this visual medium, you have to put up with this. Look at this. See? Larry, feel that.
No.
Oh, you're gay.
This is fucked up.
Hey, Phil, what kind of time we got left? Hold, I can't see it from here. What you got? 10 minutes? Lucky for you folks, there's 10. Whoa, what did you have for dinner? Jesus Christ, that belch.
Smells
like a Mexican's ass. Whoa, what the hell's going on? Oh.
This is fucked up.
All right, welcome to this episode of The Riot. This is your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo, Larry M.
All right, Larry, and first of all, let me just tell everybody out there, new buddy, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
2017 has arrived. Not a moment too soon, Larry. All those celebrity deaths in 2016.
And celebrity meltdowns.
And meltdowns, but right up until the very last minute, obviously, you know, with the Carrie Fisher and Debbie Reynolds, and then, what was it, a couple of strokes before midnight, it was the guy who played Father Mulcahy on MASH.
Oh,
he died too.
He died.
William Christopher, I think.
And in a figurative sense, Mariah Carey died on television.
Her and her giant plastic tits died a horrible death.
Big hooters.
Yeah.
I have to tell you, I was watching that when it happened. Oh my God.
Yeah.
Uncomfortable.
But, all right. So we'll figure that out. But in the meantime, let's get done with the New Year's pimping. For all your riotous needs, as always, please go to ThatRiotShow.com, ThatRiotShow.com. We have everything you need there. Past episodes, show synopsis, audio and video archives. Check us out there. And once you get done with that, you can always find us on social media. That would be Facebook, Facebook.com/ThatRiotShow, Facebook.com/ThatRiotShow. Become a fan of the Riotous page on Facebook. Other fans there, Larry. Trading some ideas, listening to the latest posts. So get on Facebook. Also, when you're done there, go to Twitter. Twitter.com/ThatRiotShow. Twitter.com/ThatRiotShow. And if we're being honest, Larry, that's where it all is really going down in terms of the Riot Show's snark, as it were. So don't forget, become a follower of the Riot on Twitter. Twitter.com/ThatRiotShow.
Go on Twitter and argue with him.
You could do that.
loves it. Let's tell the truth.
Yeah, let's be honest. It's something I enjoy. But anyway, Phil, Happy New Year to you too. And if you don't mind, sir, please, the Rolo Podcast, which means that if you are listening to us and would like to listen to us, or if you want to tell someone to listen to us, I've never understood how that works. If you're listening to us, you already know where to get the show, Larry.
Right.
So that's kind of weird. But
we
maybe
do depend on word of mouth.
So. Here's the scenario. If you're watching us and would like to have us on podcast, like in your car or something, these would be the places to go. So Phil, hit it. iTunes, Spreaker, Podomatic,
Stitcher,
SoundCloud, everywhere, YouTube. Check us out everywhere you could get a podcast. That's where you can find The Riot. Just search for That Riot Show in any of those fine platforms. And you'll be able to get The Riot there. And Larry, that's enough of the pimping.
Yeah.
Put it in short order. And let's move on to the actual topics of the new year. The thing that's happened today, a couple of hours ago, of course, in the news, a shooting at the Fort Lauderdale airport, Larry.
Yeah.
A gunman, as of right now, it looks like there's been five people killed and roughly between 8 and 10 hospitalized as a result of this shooting. Mm-hmm. Turns out that they have caught the shooter, Esteban Santiago, I believe, right, yeah, Larry? Esteban Santiago has been arrested. He's alive. And they're trying to figure out, honestly, what the motives are here. Drips and drabs coming in, Larry.
He had a military ID.
Yeah, he had a military ID on him.
Iraq.
He was deployed to Iraq. Yeah. He is from Puerto Rico originally, a U.S. citizen from Puerto Rico. And served in the military in Iraq, deployed 10 months, I believe.
Right.
And we're also hearing drips and drabs from not universally, so and you know, sometimes that's the beauty of the show and sometimes that's the curse of the show, Larry. Sometimes things happen right before we turn on the cameras, so it becomes difficult to fully research it.
Oh,
but
yeah,
in this particular case, it looks like there's some information that he may have visited an FBI office
in Alaska,
in Anchorage, where I guess the case officers or the field officers there noted that he complained of voices in his head. And that some of those voices were telling him to join ISIS. So, I don't know what to say at this point. Speculation. Is he someone who's been recruited? Is he someone who's been brainwashed? Is he someone who's just, well, obviously he's mentally ill to some extent to have committed this. Traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. Not entirely sure. And obviously the loss of life is horrible. But of course you're going to be hearing the typical,
politicization
that, of the event. Things to keep in mind. Okay. A, it's not like he walked into the place with an AR-15 and started shooting.
Right.
It's a no gun zone. He checked his gun, got past the checkpoint, and then somehow got his bag with the gun back, went into a bathroom, loaded up a clip, and just came out shooting, according to eyewitnesses.
Right.
So you're going to probably hear from the gun lobby. You're going to hear about the gun control freaks that, oh, what's he doing with this? Guns are already illegal past the checkpoint. You're not
right.
Supposed to have them. So again, I don't know what law you would have passed necessarily that would have prevented this. I would focus more on what appears to be that, again, a federal office had this guy, noted that he was hearing voices. Now, did they put him on meds? Is the guy just off his meds? Did he not get meds at all? Did he not get any help from the Veterans Administration?
Yeah.
I don't know. So it'd be stupid for me to speculate, but to me, that would be where the focus should be, Larry. It should be more on, did this guy have any signs that officials were aware of that they once again let slip through the cracks?
Yeah, this is another, like, possible mental health issue.
Oh, yeah.
I know that people, liberals are going to focus on guns, but, I mean, you know, look, we've seen now attacks running people over. We've seen attacks with guns. We've seen attacks with bombs, like even if you want to talk about like Oklahoma City. Unfortunately, we've seen like those guys on those college campuses just start stabbing people. Unfortunately, there's too many ways to injure innocent people who are unsuspecting and they're all soft targets. Now, what triggered this guy? Unfortunately, this happened right as we were going on the air, as you said. So we're not going to be able to speculate on that right now. But I mean, it sounds like he served, and he has issues that that came out as he returned from war. But you know, look, a lot of guys, it fucks them up. So it's, I mean, I'm thinking that's what this has to do with. And as far as joining ISIS,
Who knows? I mean,
who knows? But it's another unfortunate, like horrible thing, and you have to hear about. There's been some recent things that we didn't get to cover since our last show because we had 1 week off for the holidays. We missed a week. that was the guy dressed up as Santa Claus who killed all those people in Turkey. So, I mean, it's just, you know, unfortunately, I hate to say that this is the new normal. But it's just happening with such frequency. And you see, like, everyone's, like, appalled or shocked, but nobody's, like, really shocked anymore.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, like, you've actually, like, oh, my God, like, another attack. Like, and that's the way it is.
And it's going to be interesting. And again, not to play too much into politics, I'm going to be interested to seeing what President-elect Moron has to say about this. And how he approaches it, whether it's just another opportunity for him to tell you how much he beat Hillary Clinton by or whatever. But it'd be interesting to see how this plays out. So, you know, we'll, maybe by next episode we'll have more details into what happened, but that's what we have so far.
My opinion is he'll be tweeting soon.
Yeah.
Because he tweets on everything.
Yes.
I mean,
he already tweeted out condolences and...
Yeah.
But like an idiot, he said, stay safe to the residents of Florida. Like, I don't know what that's supposed to mean. Like, you know, the guy's already
That's
arrested.
One of those TSA announces, like, please be vigilant.
Yeah, it's just, you know. But, you know, and it was a weird week. Again, we had this. Larry mentioned the terrorist attack in the Turkish airport.
It was a club.
Oh, I'm sorry. The Turkish club. The airport was 2 months ago.
Yeah.
And obviously Turkey becoming the focal point, I guess, the radical Islamists there are trying to turn that country because it's considered, I think, one of the more westernized.
Yeah, it's always been a western, very secular, despite its high Muslim population, which is 96% of the country. But it's always been pretty secular and pro-West.
Right.
They've never really wanted to be associated with the Middle East and the Muslim world. And unfortunately now, they've got a percentage of radicals who are trying to push the issue. And it's going to put us in the position where we're going to have to side up with some pretty horrible leaders over there. Because you're not going to have any choice except to find guys who are against them.
Right.
The only thing is, their way of dealing with the terrorists is very draconian. I mean, stuff that makes waterboarding look like a joke. I mean, they're very. I've read stories about the people they catch. They torture the fuck out of them. Where's your cell? Where's your buddies? Like, stuff that, like, dopey Trump brags about. Like, we're going to do extreme vetting.
So that we're in that phase. Obviously, ISIS has to make some, has to pick up some ground for their PR efforts and among savagery. So that you're probably going to be seeing a lot more of this, unfortunately. Speaking of savagery, Larry, also this week, and again, it makes you wonder what people do sometimes, in Chicago, four black teenagers tricked a mentally ill, I shouldn't say mentally, a special needs student that at least one or two of them knew from school, and conned this kid into following them home.
Right.
And then they managed to kidnap and torture this poor white kid for several hours, the whole time apparently streaming it live on Facebook.
Right.
And apparently it went on for a while until someone realized what was going on and either called the cops,
that
it wasn't a joke, it wasn't a movie, that it was a real thing happening. Fairly disturbing. Now, obviously, four teenagers, and I'll say this, black teenagers, we said white victim. Why am I focusing on that? You'll see why in a second.
Why not?
Right, why not? Not to sound like a hack, but when the opposite happens, front and center.
Yeah, please. If this was four white teenagers doing this to a black special needs kid, it would have been everywhere. You wouldn't hear about anything else. And the president would have been, like, on the air in, like, 2 seconds.
Or four Trump supporters assaulting a Clinton supporter. Yeah. Or four frat boys kidnapping a chick and doing it to her. So let's be honest here, because at least until the initial outrage, that wasn't being mentioned. If you look at the timelines of, like, CNN, WAPO, the local news affiliates, it was never being mentioned. It just said four teenagers... kidnapped and tortured special needs student, basically.
Right.
Or special needs man. They didn't mention any of that. So, which is interesting. Now.
Except boxing.
Except, well.
Well, they did. They,
I saw the story
there first, and then four black teenagers torture white kid.
But I'm talking about the major outlets.
Yeah,
like the AP.
The left-wing ones.
Yeah, the AP and things like that. Yeah. So anyway, so that happened, and now we will I think, reiterate at this point before we go any further. Our position has always been that hate crime legislation is bullshit. Okay? We've always said, and we stick by it now, that hate crime penalties, hate crime legislation, is nothing but political bullshit to allow prosecutors and angry special interest groups the ability to try someone twice. In other words, when you can't prove guilt beyond a reasonable doubt, they bring in hate crime. Well, if we can't prove that this murder took place, we can prove that the guy's a racist because he said the word nigger or something similar. Therefore, let's get him on that.
Right, and what better to push the buttons of a jury than to throw in these added charges of, well, he went after him, he's black, right? Because he's Muslim. Gay, or he's gay. Hispanic, or he's right. Muslim. You know, and then, of course, what you see, here's the problem with that. Not only is the legislation, and you know what it is, even if you think hate crime, let's suppose, John, just say it's bullshit. Suppose you don't think it's bullshit. You know what the problem is? These laws are already on the books.
Right.
You don't need all this extra shit. So the other problem with it is it also encourages hoaxes.
Yep.
Because you see now, the woman here in New York said three drunk Donald Trump supporters grabbed her job, called her names, get out of this country, turned out to be a lie.
The five gay guys who said that it was a bunch of Trump off-duty cops
yes.
that assaulted them turned out to be bullshit.
Another student at the University of Michigan attacked me, I'm a Muslim, turned out to be a lie. The problem is, these people are bringing, they're actually getting law enforcement that spend time and money and their assets looking into these things that didn't happen at all. And they want, I mean, let's face it, if somebody were to get arrested, you can start piling on these charges to them.
Yep. Like,
well, it's a hate crime, it's this, and she's a minority, blah, blah, blah. So the only thing which I will say, which I'm a little disturbed by, there has been a spike. I mean, maybe because they're covering them more, but there has been a spike in attacks, just period, no matter since election day.
Oh, of course. And most of them, you know, contrary to what you might think initially, most of them are being perpetrated by Clinton supporters or Sanders supporters
yeah.
against who they perceive to be Trump supporters. Yeah. So that's happening, right? So before we continue, we'll state hate crime, bullshit, we don't believe in it. But in this case, four black teenagers on video kidnapping and torturing a white special needs student, yelling fuck Trump and fuck white people throughout the whole video as they're torturing this kid.
Put a cigarette out on his forehead.
Yeah, cut him, I think, with a knife at one point.
Yeah.
All right? And the Chicago police department,
the police and what are they calling, the intendant, super
had the gall to announce right after they made the arrest that they weren't sure if this was a hate crime. And again, that's why you see the bullshit involved here. Because, and again, bullshit. It's assault, it's kidnapping, it's assault to commit, to commit harm or whatever. It's there's all those crimes. But if that doesn't qualify as a hate crime, nothing should.
Right.
Now,
I hardly believe if he were a black special needs kid, they would have done this to him.
Yeah.
So I don't believe that. So I think, I mean, he was picked for those two reasons.
But there's also, like, I mean, if you're being technical about it, there's hate crimes on two issues. One, because it was black teenagers yelling at Trump, yelling at a white kid, saying fuck white people. Then there's the political angle, because he's a Trump supporter. They clearly targeted him because they thought he was a Trump supporter because they said fuck Trump. And then the third component, they kidnapped him because he's a special needs student.
Right.
So you have hate crime potential on three fronts there.
Right.
Now, I just heard earlier today that they will make it a hate crime charge after this massive outcry, Larry. It was like nobody could defend these assholes. And Chicago, which, by the way, still has one of the highest murder rates in the country and gun homicide rates, despite their gun control, their tight gun
Chicago
control.
Chicago has had, for 2016, very quickly, more murders than New York and Los Angeles combined.
Right.
That was released the other day.
With nowhere near as many people. And so that's why in these situations, or any situation, hate crime is bullshit. Larry, I would support any candidate that came out and said, I plan on striking all federal hate crime legislation.
Sure.
Okay? Because you're not, and this is, I still think this is a First Amendment issue, if you're being punished for speech and for thought. Okay? Now, you might argue, well, he's not getting punished for the speech. He's getting punished for the violence, which I'm okay with, obviously.
Yeah, that should be prosecuted.
All right?
Yeah.
But when you add to it, like add years to it because someone said nigger or muzzy or cocksucker or whatever or faggot, that stuff should not come into it because then you're getting punished for speech.
Even though most people feel it's offensive speech, it's speech.
Absolutely.
And it's covered by the First Amendment. You in these cases, they have to be charged. There are many charges that there's an unlawful imprisonment. There's a lot of things they can be hit.
Kidnapping,
obviously. And I mean, duping this poor kid. I mean, there's a lot of little, but look, these four kids, I have to tell you, I'm so happy they got caught right away.
Because they were so stupid. They were proud of it. They posted it.
They're going to do time. I think they're looking at serious time. So I hope you assholes enjoyed yourselves.
Yeah.
Because you know what? For your miserableness, you're gonna pay for this.
And let me tell you, guys like that, even in prison, don't get off. But again, get rid of the hate crime. It's stupid. I don't mind using speech as motivation if you're trying to prove motive for an assault.
Right.
Like, you could say, well, what reason would these kids have for beating up a special needs kid? Well, they're also racist because they said blah, 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 blah. So that's their motive for attack. So I could see where a prosecutor, Larry, would say their words belie their motive so that it wasn't an accident.
If they say that they're hitting you and they're calling you white motherfucker or whatever, Trump's wrong, and making fun of you because you're special needs, if they tell you that's why, then you don't need to look any further than
into motive.
Because they were stupid enough to live stream this on Facebook.
But to get extra time because of it? To be convicted strictly on their language? Because what happens is, a lot of times, if someone gets off locally, say on a murder, they get off, they beat the rap for the sake of argument. What'll happen is, then they get retried on a federal level for hate crime, because you can't retry them for the murder.
Right.
So the hate crime shit or the civil rights violation shit comes in as a way of avoiding double jeopardy.
Right.
Okay? And that's why it's bullshit. Okay? And then throw onto the top that it's not black and white, pardon the pun, as to when to invoke hate crimes, legislation rather. And what you have is politicians deciding whether or not to press hate crime charges. And that's why it should be a ban.
Kind of disturbing to me, though, that there are people who don't think this is a hate crime.
And
this is the annoying thing with left-wingers, that if things like this happen to white people, they consider it like miscellaneous. Like, it's just a crime statistic. It couldn't possibly fit their definition. Their only definition of a hate crime is when somebody white does something to somebody who isn't white.
Or
against gay people or something like that. What they think is an aggrieved minority.
Right.
So
I forget the columnist's name, but there was something in the Washington Post today, I think, or yesterday, where the columnist said this is the result of Trump. That somehow he tied it back to Trump winning. So in typical liberal leftist fashion, these animals were not responsible for their actions. Not only did he not think it was a hate crime, he excused the whole thing as being the result of Trump. So it's Trump's hatred that's responsible, not these four little savages.
Right. In other words, the fact that they're upset about Donald Trump winning and they're lashing out, that's okay because it's really based on the stupid Trump. And of course, what's annoying about all this, it puts us in the position where we have to defend Trump.
I hate
Trump
fucking
or his
defending
support.
Trump.
Yeah. And you know what? I could see this coming, right? Because I've had to do this now like five times. This is going to be my life for the next 4 years. I spent a year and a half bashing him with him, right? Okay, we both voted for Gary Johnson. Okay. Now, because liberals are being such assholes, and they're so unhinged, and they're so unreasonable in their behavior, and you can see this now, not just in society, but you can see this politically. Because the Republicans, and Pence in particular, was talking about they're going to repeal Obamacare, right? So here, the Affordable Care Act is now in the crosshairs. Obama met with the Democrats yesterday or the day before and told them, if the Republicans repeal this, let them do it, and we'll put the blame on them. Now, of course, I'm sorry about the tangent, but it goes to the political aspect of it. Schumer comes out with Pelosi, and they have a sign next to them. You see, it said, Make America Sick Again. So Chuck Schumer, reading from a piece of paper, he kept looking up, it's going down, like, he's not even like thinking extemporaneously off the top of his head, nothing. He's not even smart enough like to ad-lib comments. He's got to write this shit down, and he's reading, goes, This is the Republican plan. So he's setting himself up that he's going to be the number one anti-Trump leader for the Democrats. Now that Harry Reid is...
Well, he's a minority leader now, so yeah, that's his job.
But he's clearly taking a real strident step that he wants to be known. I can tell you right now, he's the anti-Trump guy.
Which, of course,
your favorite person now, Trump, tweeted back, Chuck Schumer, what a clown, or big clown, like something like that, and the affordable haircut, the worst thing in the world.
It's ridiculous because... I wanted to get to that.
You know what I mean? It's the worst of both.
Well, what's happening?
Look at the way they're behaving.
Yeah.
And look at the way he's behaving. Yeah. And what does it do for people like us?
Well, the left is completely unhinged. Yeah. I hate to say it. There were elements of far right wingers who absolutely couldn't live with the fact that Obama became president. Okay.
Yeah.
We're not saying they didn't exist, but the rank and file. They hated Obama. Some of them may have thought he was a Muslim or whatever. But there was no violence, by and large. There was no violence. There was no nationwide nonsense.
Yeah, but the usual...
The Tea Party started, right? But that's what you're supposed to do. A political movement starts to oppose the current leadership. That's how politics works. The left right now has lost their shit. It's like they, by refusing to accept the results of a legal election, look to the lengths they're going through. Hamilton electors holding on to the fact that Russia somehow hacked, quote-unquote, the election. Meanwhile, half the people who use the word hack don't understand what it means.
What it even means.
All right? They didn't hack the election.
They think the Russians went in and added a million votes in Michigan and took out 500,000 votes in Pennsylvania.
They actually think
there has been voting, physical, adding numbers, and tell you what, to make sure that Trump wins. That's not what is going on here. What's going on here is hacking emails, hacking files, going in, divulging shit that, all right, look, I actually consider it an invasion of privacy. It's not what, you're absolutely right, it's not what people think of when they think of hacking.
Right.
They think the Russians actually, changed numbers.
Yeah.
You know, what was originally accused of, the mob and, other people helped Kennedy win, Chicago, some of those things.
The dailies.
Which they did.
Yeah.
But the funny thing is, people are associating hacking with that. They think, there's been actual, change in the total
numbers.
Nothing
like that at all.
Yeah.
And again, I hate to say it, but we're left defending an idiot like Trump when he says, the Russians didn't do anything. The Russians fucked around. Let's be honest, okay? They fucked with the DNC, but when you have someone like Donald Brazil, who, she still sends out these tweets we need an investigation, we need this. Not once does she mention that the result of the so-called hacking was to show that, among other things, she took questions from CNN when she was a journalist and gave them to Hillary Clinton ahead of the debate. The Russians didn't do that. All the Russians did was expose the fact that you did that.
Right, they put it out there.
All right, now, could they have also exposed some of Trump's bullshit? Probably, but apparently it wouldn't have mattered. Trump himself was saying things like grab her by the pussy and all his stupid tweets and his vulgar language. And guess what? It got him more rubes to vote for him. You have to keep things in mind, all right? So you have that going on. You had the Hamilton electors. Even today, or was it yesterday, when the Electoral College sat down to ceremoniously and finally make him president,
you
had all these Democratic representatives, Sheila, what's her name, Jackson Lee, or whatever her name, the idiot from the South. They got up and protested every state's vote count, procedurally. And they couldn't get one senator, one Democratic senator, because it was a joint session. So if you have one representative and one senator, the Congress has to investigate the claim.
Right.
She couldn't get, none of them could get anybody on the other side, fellow Democrats, to join in, because they knew it was a waste of time. Some of them have finally accepted it and said, let's move on. The problem with Democrats is, and even now, how do we constantly organize? How do we constantly protest? Stop protesting. You want to organize? Organize something like the Tea Party. Take a lesson from the Tea Party. Come up with, fucking Socialists for Bernie, or whatever the fuck you assholes think is going to work, and do that.
Right.
Start a political movement where you take all the lazy shitheads that want just government to pay for everything, and have them try to vote their candidate.
And learn from the Tea Party.
Yeah.
You know, the left, I was watching some of them again the other day. You know what their message is to people? Let's take to the streets. Let's go protest. Let's yell and scream and break property and start fights with the cops. You know, I'm not a Tea Party person, but you know what? You got to respect the way they did things. They organized. They got together. They had the politest. Talk about, excuse me, talk about peaceful protest. The Tea Party people, no violence, no problem. A couple of misspelled signs.
Yeah.
Like, you know, like socialists with like two L's, right, or like something like that. But,
right,
and, you know, one or two, and it was one or two like racist signs, like calling Obama a monkey or something. But for by and large, people sitting around like in their lawn chairs practically with flags protesting. Then they organized to the point where they actually ran candidates inside the Republican Party. You left-wing assholes, why don't you decide that, you know what, we're going to be leftists for Bernie.
Right.
And start your own movement and run candidates and try to win. And why is this important? Because the Democrats, and this came out, and even the Democrats are admitting this, in the past 8 years, they've lost almost 1,000 seats nationwide, like statewide.
Right.
Like, they don't have control of the Senate right now. It's 52-48. They don't have control of the House. And like 37 or 39 governorships are Republican. You're not winning.
Yeah, you keep deluding yourself that somehow you're getting screwed out of you're getting screwed out of your rightful mandate to lead, and you're not. I keep hearing idiots say, well, you know, we got to get rid of the Electoral College, and we've done shows on life. That's a bad idea. But the concept that because Hillary had almost 3 million more popular votes, please understand, you're only talking about New York and California. That's
right.
It. The rest of the fucking country is not down with your program. And it's been drifting away from you guys. So just wake up. You know, what's his name? Bourdain. Anthony Bourdain was very frank. And the guy who does all the cooking, travel shows.
Yeah, I've seen it.
And he came out and he said, look, he goes, I blame Northeastern liberals like myself for this.
Yeah.
Because we look upon everything between the coasts as a sea of ignorance, and we dismiss
the country.
Right. And he said, we dismiss this people, we didn't take them seriously, and they came back to bite us.
Right.
But at least he's admitting what happened, and he's trying to move on.
And
right?
He's as left-wing as
and
the
he's super left-wing.
I've seen his show many times, because I'm interested in some of it. But I just saw his show like a week or two ago when he was in Glasgow. And I'm only thinking about it because I might go there in a couple of months. And I'm watching the show, and he's eating food. And even there have been a couple of shows where he's talking with people, and he gets into some of the local stuff. He goes, well, that's like appealing to like an old-time lefty like me. He admits right where he's coming from. But at least he has enough introspection, or he's capable of introspection enough that he can say to himself, this is why a couple of weeks ago, and I said this a couple of times, this is why I made such a big deal about her basket of deplorables.
Yep.
Doesn't sound like a big deal, right? You and I don't really care. Why? Because A, we're from New York City. B, it's not directed at us.
Right.
But what I told people, and I got to give them credit, the only other person who made the same observation that I did was that guy Mike Barnicle or whatever on the Morning Joe show. He's a lefty.
Right.
And he said when he heard about it, and he's as liberal as they come. He writes for like the Boston Globe.
Right.
And he said the same thing that I thought of right away. Here's this comment. It's clearly directed at white people, and it's clearly directed at people who live in the Midwest, the Rust Belt,
right,
Michigan, Ohio, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, these kind of people.
Right.
Now, here's the question. Suppose you're an independent. You're undecided. There were actually undecideds in this last. They didn't get any FaceTime with anybody, but there were. Suppose you're standing there, and you're like I think he said like a shopkeeper in Ohio as an example, but suppose I'm undecided, and I have a friend who's a Trump supporter. You make this comment, but then, like, what makes you think, like, while you're insulting these people, what makes you think that I'm not going to stand there and go, well, if she thinks that about you, she could easily think that about me, because I live out here, and, you know, just because I'm undecided. The Democrats, let me tell you something, you lost because you ran a shitty, shitty candidate. She didn't even go to Ohio or Michigan, one of those.
Wisconsin.
She didn't even go there at all. Like, Michigan, one of those, she only went, like, at the last moment. The fact is, you took all these people. I'm actually surprised you got as many votes in those states as you did. I got to tell you. And the fact that you could lose to Trump.
Yeah.
And even Obama said in one of his the election interviews, he goes, they got the popular vote. But he goes, those are in urban areas on the coast. Even Obama acknowledged that. You got to realize that there's a large part of this country. Look, they're not all in the alt-right, okay? But if you treat them like idiots, if you're going to insult them, and right now, if you're a Democrat, here's the final point. If you're a Democrat, what do you have to look forward to? Look who their spokespeople are right now. Schumer, Pelosi,
who whoever the DNC head that turns
out. Biden's out. Obama is out. Harry Reid retired. Who? Like, think about it. And the bench? Bernie Sanders, 74, 75 now. Elizabeth Warren? Get the fuck out of here. You know what's going to happen to Elizabeth Warren if she runs and wins the nomination in 2020? She's going to be like McGovern. She'll get destroyed like a landslide. Let me tell you something. Your politics are not selling right now. And again, if you think they are, just look at the governorships, look at the Senate, look at the Congress, look who's in the White House.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to have to come up with a better plan. And like Schumer, and they're drawing a line in the sand on the Obamacare. And he's also,
which is smart because let's say that when the Democrats passed Obamacare as a lame duck Congress, we said no Republican should vote for it.
Right, which they didn't.
Which they didn't for one simple reason. Then the Democrats own the stick.
Right.
Absolutely right. Now, for the Democrats now, they can't stop a repeal. They really can't at this point. So what do? You let the Republicans pass it. You make sure nobody breaks ranks with you.
Right.
And you let them own it. If they were smart, here's the plan. Repeal Obamacare. That's it. You don't need to replace it with anything else. Okay? Let the free market handle it. Just let the free market handle it. You want to help it out? Let insurance companies conduct business across state lines. You want to help people get health care cheaper.
Well, but that's a good idea. But you know what? I gotta disagree with you. I think that if they don't have a plan to replace it, I think this is going to be a bomb on them.
Well, but what I'm saying, their plan should be let the free market work.
Right, no, but you have to have a plan at this point. Because if you just look, the problem with this, and we've talked about this before, is, and I once mentioned that you can't just repeal it. You can't unwind it because it's already ingrained. Like, have you ever seen those pictures of like a cell?
It might take two years to unwind it.
No, but the point is, if you do it that way, the problem is, it's like you're doing like the magician trick where you're like pulling the cloth out and you're hoping that all the dishes and the glasses don't move. I have a feeling that because this thing is already so ingrained in things, if you were just to repeal it like that without doing anything, I have a feeling you'll make it a disaster. And then the Republicans will look terrible. And then in 2018, you'll get killed in these midterm elections and the Democrats will come back. If you're smart, I would say don't repeal it until you have something to put it in. Because right now what the Democrats like pointing out is that since this thing started, 20 million more people have health care. Now, of course, the problem with that statement is, A, the people who lost their health care. B, the health care that they have isn't very good. There are companies like Humana who said they've lost $1 billion from doing it. Plus, it's mandated that you have to join them.
And premiums went up.
Yeah, and premiums went up. They're going up like 116% in Arizona. So if I would say that if the Republicans are smart, even just for the optics of politics, you have to have something where you say, we're going to take this piece of shit. Good. And you destroy Obama's legacy. Good. But you're going to say, here's our idea. Across state lines, great idea. Competition, great idea. But you're going to have something. You can't. And I think if you just remove it and leave it,
by the way,
I think
no,
it's going to be a disaster.
By the
and
way,
then they're going to be blamed for it because they're the ones who did it.
By the way, no subsidies for the insurance companies. Listen, the free market takes care of this shit. You know why Obamacare failed under its own weight, aside from its structural problems? Because nobody in the Obama administration understood how fucking insurance works. You know how insurance works? You get a lot of people to sign up. The healthy people end up paying for the sick people.
Right.
And you have to allow for the floating of premiums, meaning if you're younger and healthier, your premiums should be lower. If you're older and sicker, they're higher. And yes, even though it's hard for anyone to say, and it's tragic, some people should be denied coverage. Horrible when it happens. But if someone already has a disease and it's terminal, okay, what are you going to charge them for a premium when you start covering? And they're the most expensive patients, okay? You have to put them aside almost and come up with a different situation for them. Like almost say, okay.
But you have to come up with something.
But that's what I'm saying. Like, you don't put them in with the pool of everybody else because then the dynamics don't work. And then what happened? Insurance companies started dropping out of the exchanges.
Right.
Humana, a couple of other ones. Because you know what? They were losing billions of dollars on this bullshit. Okay? Yeah. And they were saying not enough healthy people are signing up. It's all the highest risk, most expensive insured are coming and signing up on this.
And all the young people that they wanted to get signed didn't sign up.
Not even close.
And they ran all those stupid commercials with that stupid white kid in the pajamas. Like, yeah. I got Obamacare.
Just to finish it off, the funny part is those supposed 20 million that are covered extra, they're really not extra. It's just that you're calling them something else. The end result was that those people who were uninsured, more than likely, what was the old thing, even though it was horrible, they would just walk into an emergency room. Legally, the emergency room couldn't turn them away, so that's how they got their health care. They went into emergency rooms, they hung out until somebody treated them, then they got kicked out the second they were able to be kicked out, okay? Mm-hmm. Basically, Medicare, Medicaid, they're the ones that took care of it. What you have now is you still have the Medicare subsidies, right? Medicaid subsidies, I get the two confused.
Yeah.
And everyone else who before was paying for their own health care now is paying for everybody else's health care. So all that happened was people who would have enjoyed the benefits of being young and healthy with lower premiums have higher premiums. That's it. My premiums went up, and I'm not in Obamacare, but my premiums went up because the insurer that I'm dealing with has to cover losses.
Right. Plus, for small businesses, I think the Republicans Republicans are going to have to come up with something. This is why I mean that you can't just repeal it. They're going to have to come up with something that accounts for that now, because the small businesses really took a brashing on this, and they had to fire people to afford it, and they cut people's hours so that they wouldn't qualify for things, and so much stupid shit came out. Right. And what's the impetus of all this? Is stupid Nancy Pelosi back in 2008 or 2009 saying, we have to pass it first to see what's in it. You know, I mean, outside of the idea that you're supposed to be reading this fucking shit before you pass, they rushed it through while they had control of everything. And what I'm telling the Republicans right now, don't be like that. Come up with something. I've heard that there are a couple of plans. There's a couple of plans out there. Look at what you can replace this with. You ran on repeal and replace. That's what you do. Take this piece of shit out, but replace it, get some competition, get something that helps out small businesses after a kick in the ass that they took, and come up with something that expands coverage. Because there are too many people who don't have coverage.
And for God's sake, don't listen to any of Trump's ideas on how to do this.
Yeah, don't.
Because all he does is he wants the government to be a single payer. So whatever you do, if you're Paul
Ryan,
if you're Mitch McConnell, I'd rather, if it came down to doing what Trump wants or doing nothing, do nothing. That's the better course of action, if those are your only two choices. But to Larry's point, if you have an actual plan for making this better, please do it. And I kind of am worried because Paul Ryan said he didn't have details right now and they'd be announced later. Fair enough, but do something. Don't be like the Democrats, pass it to find out what's in it, okay? So that's that. The other thing I want to also, Larry, talk about is our president-elect and the rubes he empowers, okay? I was telling Larry. So Trump, of course, since I'd say about Christmas, has gone on a fucking Twitter rampage, okay?
Twitter storm.
And everything that's wrong about Trump, and I'm talking to all you Trump rubes out there, you Republicans, hashtag Republicans.
Republicans.
Right. First of all, why is he concerned about the ratings of The Apprentice? He tweeted out shitting on Schwarzenegger that the ratings of his first show as host of The Apprentice were not as good as any of those 14 seasons that he did. Now, keep in mind, Trump has still not made his taxes public, okay? Right. But we do know he's the executive producer of The Apprentice. So let me just say this. A, it's been documented that he's pissed off because he wanted his daughter to run that show, because that's extra money coming into the clan, right? Mm-hmm. So Schwarzenegger got the role. I didn't even watch it, Larry. I don't know if he did good or not. That's besides the point. Why is the president-elect of the United States making any comments on the fucking Apprentice? Obviously, because he's the executive producer. If it does well, he makes money whether or not he's on it or not, okay?
But look what he's spending his time on.
But that's what I'm saying.
And skipping intelligence report meetings.
But that's the thing to keep in mind. Like, first of all, you might say, well, he's a genius. He's trying to drive up ratings. No, he's not a... all it means is that he's a petty cocksucker. He should be divesting himself of any of those holdings that where his office benefits him. Even that asshole that he recommended for Secretary of State, Tilson?
Tilson.
The guy from Exxon?
Yeah.
He has a package in place. He has an agreement with his company, Exxon, that if he gets confirmed as Secretary of State, they will pay him like $500 million. I'm not saying he's going to be poor as a result of this, all right?
No.
What is it, like $500 million, $400 million?
A couple of, yeah.
And then he'll be done. They're going to give him his money. He's going to put it in the bank account somewhere. And then he has no influence at all and nothing to benefit. No stock.
He's
no
free and clear, which is what you're supposed to be doing, especially if you're the president.
Exactly. So even one of his rube cronies understands that I can't be involved with this shit. Like, I can't be tough on the Russians when Exxon is doing business with Russia, and I'm part of Exxon, okay? So at least that guy, he says, the second I'm nominated, this agreement goes into effect, and he made the agreement public. That's the way you do things. Trump, who the fuck knows what he's doing, all right?
Everybody in the cabinet gets it but him.
Right, and he's still, so he's tweeting about that to Then he's sending out these tweets that are just, like, utterly... Like, I still don't understand. Why is he tweeting out that he's responsible for Christmas? Why is he having a New Year's Eve party where he's hanging out with confirmed mobsters? I mean, does he realize that he's going to be the fucking... Like, at some point, I still don't think it's set... It's really... Real to him. I still think it's a PR campaign thing.
No, it's not that. I think it's just that the way he's lived his entire life, he intends to continue doing that, despite the fact that he happens to be president. He's looking at it as like just like another job. But it's not just another job. It's the fucking presidency. You're going to be the most powerful person in the world. Do you have to be tweeting to Chuck Schumer that you're a big clown? Should you be tweeting to Arnold Schwarzenegger, worst ratings ever, so much for being a movie star?
Right.
I mean, should he be doing this? Then somebody else criticized him the other day, and he tweeted out, like, very sad.
Yeah.
And like, you know, you can see what the... And this is what I've been saying. I'm going to keep saying it. Now, this is just stupid stuff. Eventually, he's going to fucking tweet out something that's not supposed to be out
there. Well, it almost really happened, Larry, to your point. He tweeted out something about the Chinese.
Oh.
And the Chinese government already replied, like, you better stop fucking talking about us like that. Okay? Now, I know the rubes out there think that's great, that he's standing up to China and bullshit like that.
They love it.
But guess what? That's not how diplomacy works, you fucking assholes. And Larry,
like smack-talking NFL.
Yeah.
Like it's...
Now that I'm worked up about this, I spent 2 days with a rube on Facebook, okay? Who insisted to me that free trade is a killery scam to destroy democracy. Think about that. And if you're not putting a gun to your head right about now at the prospect of the United States going forward, these are the people, and Anthony Bourdain, he may regret treating rubes like rubes. I don't. They're all fucking rubes, okay? For anyone to look you in the eye and say free trade is the enemy of democracy is a fucking idiot. And it just shows you how nothing is normal in this world anymore. Okay? No. All right?
It's a world gone mad.
This was on the heels of Trump tweeting out, GM, stop importing the Cruiser, which is a model, from Mexico, or face 35% tax penalty.
Yeah.
Well, there's a lot wrong with that. First of all, that protection is bullshit. I'll say it again. All that results in a few hundred people keep their jobs. The rest of us subsidize them with higher car payments, okay? And higher federal taxes because we'd be paying into it and through inflation because it'll make everything more expensive.
And since when
do
Republicans support tariffs?
Well, that was the thing.
And trade punishment.
So that's the problem, right? That's one problem there. Two, he said the same thing about Toyota, I think. He said they better start. Why are they building a plant in Mexico? They better build in the U.S. and shit like that. First of all, why are you singling out the automakers, right? I can think of a lot of different things. Point is, why is an idiot in charge of the market? That's why you don't want anybody in charge of the market, because you're really depending on how smart they are. And we already know Trump's an idiot, okay? That's the first thing. The second thing is, to prove he's an idiot, the car he was bitching about is actually made in a plant in Ohio. So when he gets up there saying, tax this, tax that, GM or Chevy or whoever had released this statement saying, no, they're actually manufactured in Ohio. And by the way, Toyota, huge plant in Kentucky, builds cars and parts here and employs a lot of Americans, okay? Donald Trump is a fucking rube. And anybody who believes his nonsense is an uneducated cocksucker. And what's worse is I don't mind educating you. I really don't.
I can't believe he's from New York.
Yeah. I don't mind trying to... believe me, I was patient with this guy. I spent a good 2 days just... Everything he brought up, I would be like, that's not the way it works. Blah, 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 blah. And then at the end, he just goes, well, then I just think free trade is against democracy. You know, and it's like when people actually take that position... there's nothing you could do with... How do you fight stupid, Larry?
No, you can't, because you have people who are so all in on him. They assume that if you're criticizing him, it's like one of two things. You're one of those politically correct types, or you just don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Now, I got to throw in three things here that I just... Okay, number one, if you're a Republican, and my family were Republicans, and they can't answer this, all right? But they like him.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, and I just said it, since when do Republicans support tariffs and penalties for companies like that try to import things and export into this country? Okay. Number two, does it seem to you now that like every company in the world is going to threaten to leave the country?
Of course.
Or you know why? Because they know that if they threaten to leave the country, we're going to leave Ohio and we're going to go to Mexico. He's going to call them up and like cut a deal with them,
right?
Or some kind of break just to keep the jobs here, right? As part of his "we're going to keep the jobs here" campaign. And thirdly, since when do Republicans? And here's a good one: since when do Republicans support the president picking winners and losers? When the fuck did that start? You're the people who usually freak out when the president when Obama wasted $525 million on Solyndra, the solar energy company. Republicans actually, and I saw them, they sort of went, this is what happens when the president tries to pick winners and losers.
And they were right.
They use that language. Since when is it okay to support tariffs? When is it okay to pick winners and losers? And don't you realize now that every company in this country can just go out and say, guess what? We're going to the Philippines or something. And this asshole is going to call them up and cut a deal. And they're going to get stuff that they want just to stay. And then he's going to claim victory. So, he's going to tweet something.
Right.
Company was going to Poland, kept them here.
Right, right. So the thing with rubes is, because Trump said, well, NAFTA was a Clinton thing. Bill Clinton approved, in his administration, approved NAFTA. And rubes, instead of saying, you know what? In the mid-90s, it was really Republicans and free marketeers that convinced Clinton that NAFTA was a good thing.
Yeah, it was.
Okay? Instead of viewing it in the way that we got an asshole, a leftist, to do something right for the country, which was free trade, they view it as, because they're black and white, these fucking rubes, if Clinton liked it, it must be bad. Forget the part that Donald Trump is more of a socialist than Clinton ever was. Bill Clinton, for all his shit, his economy under his 8 years did fabulous.
Yeah, it was good.
Why? Because you had Newt Gingrich running the conservatives and you had Clinton running the liberals. They came to an understanding. A couple of sequesters and shutdowns, whatever.
Yeah, but they worked
it out.
He signed on to 7 of the 10 principles in the Contract for America.
But rubes can't figure that out.
No.
They really can't. Oh, Hillary Clinton, she was kind of sort of for NAFTA and for TPP and all that, Trans-Pacific Partnerships and all that. You fucking idiots. What do you think is going to happen when all these products cost more because of these tariffs?
Yeah.
Or do you think that American unions are going to back off their demands just because you have a tariff in place? Are they going to jack up their demands? Tariffs, protectionism, are inflationary policies. If you rubes don't know what inflationary is, I urge you to type it as best you can into Google and see if you can get the definition.
It's as simple as this. If a company leaves this country and goes to Mexico, they build something, they try to import into this country. Okay. If you slap a tariff on it right away, that money has to be made up from somewhere from the businesses that are receiving. Who do you think is going to pay for that? The government? No. Senator Rich Guy? No. You are, because when they're going to build it into the price of what you're... But so when you walk into a store, something you could have picked up for $5 is going to cost $10 now, let's say. Because the money that they're losing on it, they're going to pass this on to you. The consumer is the person who pays us. So when he threatens, I'm going to put a tariff, what the fuck are you supporting? And as far as NAFTA, let me tell you something. We'll do this next week. We don't have time. I'm going to tell you all the good things that came out of NAFTA. Yeah. For all you assholes. And you know what? If you want to amuse yourself, go on YouTube and look up the debate between Al Gore and Ross Perot. They were on Larry King Live back in like 1996, whatever it was, and Gore destroyed him. And he supported NAFTA. Now, I don't know if he still does, or and he was just being the Clinton administration's henchman on this, but the reality is there's a lot of good things that came out of NAFTA. Yep. If you want, I'll chronicle them for
and,
you.
And by the way, for you rubes, there was a late 19th century political philosopher. His name was Henry George. And he wrote something that probably explains tariffs and protectionism and why they suck. Think about this. He said, in times of war, one of the things we do to our enemies is put them under embargo. We prevent free trade between our enemies and anybody else, like we did for Cuba all those years.
Right.
For 40, 50 years, we put an embargo around Cuba, no trade. They couldn't get our money. We couldn't get their products, right? Bam. And yet in peacetime, Trump wants to do it to ourselves. Yeah. He's putting an embargo around our own country. He is basically saying no trade unless you pay this exorbitant fee.
Right.
Why is it that something
but he's
you
looking
would,
at it.
No, no, but yeah. Why would you take something that you would do to your enemy during wartime and then say when things are going good, we're going to do it to ourselves? And again, you can't say he saved 700, 800 carrier jobs in Indiana. First of all, he didn't. Indiana's citizens saved those jobs because they're going to be paying for those jobs through their taxes and increased taxes or reduced services, one or the other, okay? And at the end of the day, you saved 800 jobs and everybody else has to pay higher prices now.
Right.
Because there's a reason Carrier wanted to move their plant to Mexico. It's cheaper to do business there. And that's how they maintain their profit margins, which means that's how they can maintain lower prices, by moving to another country.
And they're looking at it as, oh yeah, you're going to move to Mexico? Well, here's this punishment on you. Here's this penalty. Give me 35% to bring your products back here. In other words, they're looking at like just the punitive nature of it, and they're overlooking the economic impact in their own lives.
And at the end of the day, here's a question I had that Trump can't answer. So what if there's a trade imbalance where another country has a net flow of trade in as opposed to out? What's wrong with that? All that means is that Americans want to buy their products at lower prices. That's all it means. How do we lose in that?
Right.
It also means your dollar is stronger, you fucking idiot. Not that I have to get into the complexities of currency trade, but let's say the Chinese have all our dollars, right? That's what Trump says. China keeps winning. They have all our dollars. What do you think China does with all the trillions of dollars they hold from us? What do you think they do with it? You think they just put it in their mattress like some Armenians we know? Or are they spending that money? And by spending it, making the dollar more valuable. Driving down the value of their own currency. Uh-huh. What? You mean there's a piece of this that I don't understand because I'm a rube? You mean hundreds of years of mercantilism failing hasn't taught us a lesson yet?
Yeah, you know what's funny about it is they're not even keeping their eye on the ball.
No,
for the fact that of all Trump's like ideas, like and here it ties into another a year and a half of the wall's going to be 10 feet higher, the Mexicans are going to pay for the wall, we're going to build the wall, a beautiful wall. I saw the clip the other day; it was a beautiful wall,
yeah.
Not just a wall. It's actually going to have like class.
The best wall.
We're going to hang like curtains on it. It's a beautiful wall. So now, what happens now? The money's going to come from us.
From
and
Congress.
He's going to get the money from Mexico.
Later
on.
All right? And I know you rubes are cheering. Yeah. Yeah. As long as we keep them fucking beaners out, that's fantastic.
And I would like to plug ourselves here. Please go back and watch a previous episode like from August of last year and September with John and I. Like, he's never going to get money from Mexico.
Yeah. And he'll try to like dodge some rubes by saying, you know how they're paying for it? With that tariff. And all the rubes will cheer. Yay, tariff. They're paying for that fucking wall. And guess what? You know who'll be paying for the tariff? When you go to buy your formerly $30,000 Ford Focus, and it now costs $38,000 or whatever, right? Or that you can't buy a new car for an extra year or two, making it more dangerous because you're driving older cars. You see, economics is never that simple, okay?
No, no.
And it's certainly not simple to an idiot like Trump, okay?
But it's not that simple in a global economy.
But that's what I'm saying.
This stuff makes sense in the 70s.
Not even in the 70s, because this shit didn't work in the 70s either. They tried this in the 70s with Japan, and guess what happened? Our inflation hit double digits, all right? What do you think? This, please, do yourselves a favor. Go to YouTube. Somebody did this, and it's fabulous. There's an 8-minute video. 8 minutes. I'll even put it up on our Facebook site, that facebook.com/thatriotshow. Somebody cut together Donald Trump versus Milton Friedman on protectionism, okay? Because back in the 80s, someone was asking Friedman about that with Japan. And then someone just recently was interviewing Trump the same thing about China. Right. So if you're willing to exchange China for Japan, it looks like they're debating each other. And since you rubes, Chinese and Japanese, all look the same to you,
I was about to say
it should fit in with your fucking rubeness and redneckness. So check it out, and maybe you'll learn something. Okay? I doubt you will.
Now we can build a wall. Now we can build a wall.
Yeah.
And we're going to have to pay for it. And then he can tweet out, Mexico, very dishonest. Didn't pay for the wall. It's the stupidest thing. So now we got the wall. We got the Obamacare. We've got the tariffs. I mean, I'm trying to figure out what the hell is Republican about any of this.
Nothing. The free speech, everything we said, but
Larry, and speaking of free speech.
Yes, right, very quickly.
One quick tangent. Milo
Yiannopoulos.
Yiannopoulos.
A famous Greek.
Okay, now this guy's obviously from Mongolia.
If it's Greek, Milo Yiannopoulos translates into apple Johnny cakes.
Well, it should be Apple Johnny Cox because he's as gay as a show tune.
So Milo, who's like the darling of the Trumpsters, because he kept saying, vote for Daddy Trump.
Daddy. You just kept going Daddy.
Daddy, okay? The Rubes love Milo, okay? Which, again, is one of those things that I can... You know, the Rubes love Milo because he came out for Trump. So tell me when somebody in fucking Oklahoma who has a pickup truck and a shotgun... likes to defend somebody who's a gay British guy who has a stated preference for black cock.
Yeah.
Okay? And we're not making it up. Just ask Milo. He'll tell you. He's more than happy to tell you.
He only dates black
people. Oh, and he's a Catholic. That's the other thing you rubes may not like. He's a gay British Catholic who enjoys black cock.
And dyes his hair blonde.
So when you do all that, there's no reason in the world for you guys to even come within a 10-foot radius of this guy. Other than the fact that he voted for Daddy, okay? This guy got a book deal from Simon Schuster.
Yeah.
Now, what happened was the liberals lost their minds, particularly Leslie Jones and some Australian author who has his books published by Simon Schuster. This is horrible. We demand that Simon and Schuster gets rid of him. We don't want to be associated with Milo. First of all, you fucking idiots. You're playing into Milo's hands. He's using the Trump thing. The more you come out against them, the more the people that support him think there's a conspiracy against them.
Yeah.
Secondly, really, that's how free speech works. If you're Leslie Jones, a supposed artist, who, by the way, I find unfunny.
Yeah, she's
She hasn't done a goddamn thing I've laughed at.
But all she does is yell.
All she does is yell, and she's fat and ugly. I like, there's nothing redeeming about Leslie Jones. But anyway, that's a preference. For her to support, it's like Lena Dunham and all these other idiots who come out for censorship. And now, their argument was, well, this isn't the government doing it. Technicality, so it's not the First Amendment. We get that, stupid. But the point is that we should be in a society that encourages the exchange of ideas. Milo, for all his craziness, and I don't agree with him in 90% of what he says, but I'll give him credit where credit is due, Larry. That fucking guy will debate anyone, anywhere.
Yeah.
Have you seen some of those things in colleges with people throwing shit at him? Like sodas bouncing off his head, and he just stands at the podium and he just goes right through what he has to say. He's not intimidated. He'll do what he has to do. I give him credit. None of these fucking liberals have the balls to do that, by the way. None of them want to go debate against him because he eviscerates all of them.
Yeah.
Okay?
He's a good debater.
So the point here is, why not engage him in a battle of ideas, the marketplace of ideas, which libertarians love to crow about? Right. Why don't they engage him and say, more speech is required. If we really think this guy's a racist cocksucker, literally, then fair enough. Let's go out there and go against him. Let's put our ideas out there and let the people decide. Why are you going after his employer? why is it so important for you to make sure he doesn't have a way to earn a living? I don't get it. You're not winning anybody over. All you're proving is that if you are a disaffected liberal...
How intolerant.
Yeah. And this circles back to the top of the show with them losing their shit over Trump. You can't expect someone else to take care of your problems all the time.
But you know, but it goes to their entire mindset and worldview. Liberals used to be the defenders of the neo-Nazis and Martin Skokie.
That's right.
They then bragged about it. What has happened to these people? You know, like I was telling John the other day on Bill O'Reilly, they had on that guy Carl Dix again from the Revolutionary Communist Party. You know what I say? Put him on the fucking
air. Yeah, absolutely.
He's from the Revolutionary Communist Party, this asshole. And he's been in it since the late 60s with the guy I mentioned before, Bob Avakian. Let them be on the air. Let them be on television. That, first off, it defeats their entire argument that they're oppressed and that they're not even like allowed to be heard or nothing. Plus, he keeps talking about, he's another one. Police are after me. The FBI are there. Really? They're doing a lousy job. You've been doing this since the late 60s. They can't find you or kill you. All these things. Let them be out there. Let them say what they want. How come guys who have these right-wingers, how come they have to be silenced and shut up by liberals who just can't stand? You know what it is? And that plays into, that's like the college thing with the safe spaces.
Yep.
And they can't be around opinions that they can't hear. What is going on with these people? We need more speech. We need more of everything, not less.
It really makes you, and I'll just end it on this, it really makes you pine for the days when you would have Gore Vidal or Noam Chomsky debate Bill Buckley on his own show. He would invite him on the show and they would spend 2 hours back and forth in a civilized, except for one incident, civilized debate, a battle of ideas where you would say, this is what conservatives believe, this is what libertarians believe, this is what socialists believe, and let's put our ideas and let the person watching decide. Yeah. Nobody wins when you censor people. Nobody wins.
Yeah, but liberals have gotten to the point, they don't even want to hear it.
No, you're right.
They don't want to hear it. And then, listen, you want to know why that's so? All right, go ahead and do it. You know that you don't have control of the Senate or the House or the President, you're losing all the governorship, you want to lose some more? You want to become a bizarre radical party of just with very small, because look, the amount of people in unions is going down, the amount of even new arrivals this country used to be automatically they sign up for Democrat, not so much anymore. A lot of them are going independent and other things. You want to become like a nothing small party, you're going to be like the fucking Tories. Go ahead and you'll be insignificant in a little while.
Yeah. All right, that's the rant for today.
Yeah, that's it.
All right, until next week. When we do this one more time, this has been your host, Big Fat John.
And Judo Larian.
Peace, America.
Snacks, baby.
Join us every week at theriotshow.com to follow the latest exploits of Big Fat John and Judo Larian. This is Mark, the man with a golden voice, and my testicles are killing me.